You have just tuned into Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender and letting go in order to let new and better things come into your life. Learn the true meaning of surrender. Get ready. Here is Brittany showing you how to lose to gain it all.
Hey everyone, that music always gets me. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I know it's been a while since we've been together, just family stuff and then being sick and needing to take care of my physical as well as mental health. But I am here today to talk about, just center ourselves there for a second, grief as a spiritual practice. So I'm not sure if you guys caught me on Dr. Pat. I think it was her March 16th episode. And maybe we can throw that up. I don't know. Olivia later in the show. But I was invited to guest host on Dr. Pat's show. And that episode was really talking about, as I said, grief is a spiritual practice. The part two means that I wanted to talk about and pretty much share the same information in case you didn't see me on Dr. Pat and maybe give you some updates since then. And what sparked the episode is that I got a mailer again from one of my favorite places, Unity Village in Missouri. And they had a mailer on grief. And grief is personal, it's private, and usually it's explored alone. There are many ways in which to grieve. It has a different effect on everyone, and every type of loss you grieve in a different way. It comes in waves. At least that's what I've experienced. And today I kind of want to come out of the shadows, out of the closet, to talk about what I'm grieving about. And in the fall, I was talking about having really strong emotions, not knowing what to do, and trying to explore those icky gooey places. And that's what I was talking about. And what I want to talk about is sharing that our mental health journey with my child, she has been diagnosed with severe mental illness, with various, symptoms. And it's hard. It's changed the trajectory of her life. It's changed the trajectory of my life, her dad's life, and the rest of our family. So I want to talk about my coming out story, or just our family story, my story, really. I should only speak for myself, about how this came to be, what I've learned, and places where families can get help. I think this is important, especially given all the things going on in the world with COVID, and we're still in this limbo netherworld, and there are a lot of people dealing with mental illness. It could be something new, as such as depression or anxiety, or folks that have severe mental illness like bipolar, schizophrenia, OCD. Like, a lot of things have been exacerbated for them as well. And I think it's good for us to start talking about the effect of what is going on in the world and just in our lives. Because mental health is usually something that's kept in the shadows, in the dark. It's not something that we really talk about, just as a culture, as a people. And I'm thinking in my head across the world, I think mental health is still stigmatized. I think for one, as humans, we like things to be safe and secure, and we know what's happening because that's where how our brains are hardwired. We're hardwired for safety, but the world doesn't provide safety, nor consistency or constancy. So what we create around us is our thoughts, quote unquote, about what the world will be. So we create our own world so that we can feel safe and secure. And that's cool. And that's great. And that's how we have existed for the past 2000 plus years. So when you look at mental illness, it's people are doing things that are not what humans normally do. Their behavior looks odd. It looks peculiar. It looks strange. we have treated people like the with mental illness as pariahs, and we, you know, kind of push them out of our communities in a way, or we keep it hidden so that that person won't be shamed. It's kind of like that. I'm thinking of the image of putting the older woman out on an ice floe to die because she has no inherent value to the community anymore. So therefore she must be pushed out. But I don't know if that's even accurate. Neither here nor there. I just don't want to offend anybody. So as we push people to the margins, there's a lack of understanding. There's a lack of education. While there might be understanding in that, one of my favorite words, liminal space or area, the larger group doesn't understand, or it's challenging for them to understand. And with May being Mental Health Month, I'm going to spend probably a little bit more time exploring how we view mental health and what we can do as a mental health caregiver. Because it's tough. And I am a person that has pushed it aside. Like, I kept it very quiet. As I started to figure out and determine, there's something off here. There's something odd. I kept it to myself. I tried to figure it out. As we all know, I try to be super mom and understand and do everything, but I can't. That's not my role and not my job. I can't do it all. But with your child, especially, I had a younger child at the time. When I started to see the changes at 8 and 9, it's tough. And then also with my child having other learning disabilities, so other comorbidities, because she's so young, the system within schools and then counselors and all of that, everything has to follow a certain rhythm before we can come to a decision or a conclusion, rightly so, because the children are young, is that we need to see if it's something that this is just happening now, and maybe they will grow out of it. And that's always the positive use case, is that the kiddo will grow out of it. But as things become deeper and darker, it's harder to get that help and support, because as the child starts to disintegrate, parents don't necessarily have a place to go. And you can talk to your family and friends, and everyone's like, oh, I have a cousin or a niece or a nephew or my friend's granddaughter's cousin, you know, whatever. There's always going to be a story where everyone's like, yeah, just wait, bide your time. And you inherently know as a parent that there's something wrong, because you haven't told everything. You told what you want other people to know, which is fair. You don't need to share everything with everybody. Not everything in your life or the life of your child is for public consumption. But you know that there's something wrong, but you don't know where to go and how to deal with it. So that's what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about my story in a little bit more detail, though. Again, I want to keep our family's privacy, especially my child's privacy, because, again, not everything is for everybody and the internet is forever. So we're going to be talking about, as a parent, what do you do once you see all these signs and indications? How do you accept what's going on? So bringing it back to that mindfulness, which we talk about here a lot. Also, how do you ask for help? Not only going out to professionals like your doctor, your psychologist or psychiatrist or speech therapist, occupational therapist, other types of providers, but how do you ask for help for yourself? How do you get support for yourself? How do you validate your understanding of what's going on around you? How do you validate your own feelings? How do you just deal, right? Because that's the hardest part. And then I want to talk a little bit more about resources, some places where I found a lot of help and support recently, NAMI and MHA. And NAMI, I think it's National Association of Mental Health something. And MHA is Mental Health America. Those are two of the preeminent organizations where families, practitioners, people suffering with mental illness can go and find support, information, and then advocate. So again, I think we'll be throwing up NAMI and MHA's websites throughout this. So hopefully that can be helpful to somebody there. So today we are speaking about grief as a spiritual practice and talking about how do you deal with a child having severe mental illness. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about my story in bits and pieces, acceptance, asking for help and resources. And I hope you stay tuned because I think this is a really good conversation to be having. It's a conversation as a nation, as a country, as a culture we should be having. And you're here today with me, Brittany Miles, on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles, How to Lose to Gain It All. And we're talking about grief as a spiritual practice. So we are going to go to a break, so stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no. Or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Are you ready to let go of the I can'ts that are holding you down? Valerie Trujillo invites you to join her community on a mission to collectively heal as a tribe, where your vulnerability is heard and reciprocated. So tune in to Love and Light with the Crystal Blue Oracle every second and fourth Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Valerie and her work, visit CrystalBlueOracle.com.
The Dr. Pat Show.
The Dr. Pat Show.
The Dr. Pat Show.
This is it. The energy of heart to heart, mind to mind, love to love. These are the questions that people have and rarely state. When we have an internal transformation and we see things differently, what does it mean to step into the full nature of being a spiritual being? How am I to be? This is it. Every day, you have to do something outrageously positive. It is so absolutely relevant because what I've seen in humanity, despite what's in the headlines, I'm so struck by the heroes that have come forward. I'm just absolutely in awe. The idea generators and superheroes. All of you, you are the best listening audience in the world, and we are bringing it in 2021.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. You are here with me, Brittany Miles, on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles, How to Lose to Gain It All. And today we're talking about grief as a spiritual practice. This is something I had started on Dr. Pat's show. I think I guest hosted around 316. So if you wanted to check out that episode too, please do. But I wanted to have the conversation here. So this is my coming out of the shadows, coming out of the closet, coming out story about mental illness, and specifically with my family member, my child. And this is something that we are finally able to kind of talk about and get support for. It's something I always kept very private and very personal, but I'm realizing that I was losing the ability to cope. I am a single parent, and I just needed to realize that I needed to ask for help. I needed to accept what was going on in front of me. And I think the acceptance for me was accepting that I can't do it all. I can't be super mom. And I think I've discussed that before, that I think of myself as super mom and trying to do everything. So in the last segment, I pretty much covered that intro, that's our story. And what I want to talk about in this segment with regards to grief is just acceptance. And in a way to process that grief, that sadness, that longing, I have to accept what is. I had an entirely different vision as a parent that, you know, my daughter was going to go off and be a CEO, president of the United States, you know, a killer artist, just lots of things that I had ideas about. And those things were my ideas. And the reality is that my daughter has a lot of great qualities. She's kind, she's sweet, she's compassionate, she's intelligent, she's highly creative and a wonderful artist that I've watched grow since she was a toddler. And people being amazed at her work till now to being a full-fledged teenager and watching that growth and progression. But I also see the symptoms of her mental illness and where she's having a really rough time, to the point where she's had to be hospitalized and take some serious medication and has really rough days. Just sharing with Olivia during the break that during the time I was away, I was caring for her because she was having an extremely rough time, and that was really hard on me. We're coming out on the other side of that, where she's feeling better, engaging in a much different way, and that we're finding new services that could potentially help her. So I noticed within the darkness, it's always so hard to accept what's going on because it's frightening. Again, it's outside of the norm, and you don't want to see someone that you love in that much pain. And what I realized is that I had to accept that, yes, my daughter has severe mental illness, and yes, we're in a place where she needs hands-on help. I'm a full-time mom. I let other folks in our lives know that, hey, this is going on. I need some help. I allowed myself the time to cry. That was part of my grieving, to cry. I allowed myself some quiet time just to kind of meditate and work through it. I allowed myself the time to have a heavy heart, to feel all the feelings, all the feels, because they're multiple. And like I said, they came in waves. And then there are other times where I woke up and like, yeah, today's going to be it. We're going to round the corner. And then by the end of the day, we didn't. But slowly opening my eyes so that I had a really clear view of what was happening and what was going on for her. And then what was going on for me, and allowing myself to be open to those feelings and not be so shut off. I also worked through not trying to do it all. There were some things where I just, you know, I told her no. I used to say yes to everything, to every request, because it just kept the peace. But there's some things where I was like, nope, can't do it, because the onus was just put on me, and I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take it. It was just too much. As a parent with a child with mental illness at this level, you're going to suffer many losses of many different things. And that makes the grieving cyclical and sometimes a little bit challenging to deal with, because you could, you know, accepted a loss and moved forward and was like, okay, I see where we're headed. I see where I am today. But then you're going to grieve another loss. So, for example, my child doesn't go to school and may not ever go back to a public school. Her teens might not look like my teens. She might not have the same circle of friends. She doesn't want to talk to a lot of people. That may change, but just grieving that loss. We were cleaning up a bedroom to make into an office, and I saw a lot of my daughter's crafting supplies, and I said, wow, because she spent so much of her early childhood crafting, and I couldn't get out of Michael's to save my life. And I asked her if she wants to craft again, and she's like, no. Yeah. Not interested. Understanding that, you know, there are just some things in our lives that will never look like other folks, where she might stay at home longer than other kids her age. That she will continue to be homeschooled. She may not drive a car at 16, just given her brain activity and focus, that might not be the best thing for her and for other folks on the road, just for her safety. So sitting back and looking at these milestones or markers that we have in our lives, especially for children, she might not have those. They may be different. Some I've kind of preemptively said to myself, well, she might not have that, but who knows? Things can change. Everything can change. And another thing that I've realized is that as I look at accepting what is and looking at the losses that are and maybe to come, I can enjoy today. I can enjoy now. Today, we have beautiful weather here in the Northwest. We've been having a great week. Spring has sprung. My child is doing better this week, has been, in some parts of the week. I've seen progress. So I'm going to accept what we have for today. And something that I heard in one of my support groups or an article that I read is that walking beside your loved one is important. Try to find the places where you have common ground, the places where you can connect again. Not always looking at that disconnect and what you don't have. Think about what you do have. And that's incredibly helpful to keep you focused on today and being in the now, because there's so many amazing things that I do have with her. We have a great time. We have a good relationship as mother and daughter. We enjoy our little doggo. We have great family walks that we take with the doggo and walk him. We live in a really great area. We have a lovely home. We have our own private inside jokes. So there's a lot to be grateful and thankful for, and it makes me happy. So when I continue to find that common ground, that's awesome. The times when we listen to music together, or I ask her to share, you know, what she's watching on YouTube, or to play her Spotify or SoundCloud playlist with me, I enjoy that because I get to hear new music. And then I'll say, this sounds like something that I listened to when I was your age. So I get to share and bridge generations with her, and she's surprised at how cool I actually am. Because I am cool. So that's actually a lot of fun. It's good to engage with your kid. And because she's a teen and with the mental illness, sometimes that can be hard. It can be a barrier, but it's just trying to get into their world. I ask her about her art and her art style and how that's growing and what she's interested in drawing, and giving her new tools and asking, do you need anything else new? Like, do you need any new art supplies? I haven't bought a lot of new stuff in a while because I bought an expensive iPad. So she's really enjoying that. So that's been really, really cool. So again, seeing that growth and progress. There are times where I hear her peals of laughter when she's talking with a friend and they are gaming. The laughter that she expresses when she's trying to teach me a new game, like Cookie Run, which was very, very exhausting for me. I'm the only person in the family that's not a gamer. I'm highly my tech savviness and knowledge is deep based upon what I do for a living, but these games just like, they're just overwhelming for me. And it's just, I'm like, I can't do it. But it's been fun to find those places with her and finding a way to walk with her hand in hand and finding that common ground. So with that, I am Brittany Miles, host of Miles to Go with Brittany Miles, How to Lose to Gain It All. And we are talking about grief as a spiritual practice. And I am opening up about being a mother of a mentally ill child and dealing with the grief that I feel around my child's mental illness. And I've talked a lot about my story in bits and pieces. And then also we were just talking about acceptance and finding common ground. So I'd like you to stay tuned to hear how we'll talk about how to ask for help. So again, I'm Brittany Miles. See you after the break.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying the new year. During this time of need, I've been called to offer my life coaching services for free. That's right, free, no strings attached. Ram Dass said it best, we're all walking each other home. I'd like to support your walk with my coaching skills. To start the process, hit me up at miles2gocoaching.com. And under Book Online, select Is Coaching Right for Me? After that, we'll schedule time to meet and map out whatever you want to work on. I look forward to hearing from you. And remember, you can catch me on Transformation Talk Radio the second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. See you soon.
Have you heard the story of the snake and the rope? One evening, a young woman was walking down a country road. It was growing dark. Suddenly, she froze. Up ahead was a coiled snake. She was terrified. She reached into her bag for a flashlight and directed the beam of light towards the snake. Now she was flooded with relief. It was just a piece of old rope. That snake stands for all our imaginary fears and insecurities that sap our confidence. The beam of light is conscious confidence. Ask yourself, how many snakes did I see today? How many actions or words did I stifle through fear? Hi, I'm Sarah Main, creator of Conscious Confidence. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Pat, for Conscious Confidence Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn more about how you can live a life filled with conscious confidence. Go to my website, consciousconfidence.com.
Let's face it, you don't love your wrinkles. You probably work out, but you have been skipping face day. Join Colette Marie Steffen for daily face yoga. You'll learn to activate and train facial muscles and reverse the visible effects of aging. forget about expensive procedures and products that don't work. Live virtual classes every day at 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Pacific. Sign up for Face Yoga with Colette. Visit thetruthisfunny.com.
Your inspiration all day on transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I just stepped on the music. Sorry, Olivia. But hey, I couldn't hear for a second. You're here with me, Brittany Miles, on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles, How to Lose to Gain It All. And today we're talking about grief as a spiritual practice. And I'm coming out of the shadows, out of the closet, if you will, regarding being a parent of a child that has severe mental illness. I've kept this very close, very personal. But now I'm realizing it's okay to step out, especially because next month, May, is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I'm going to continue to do shows on mental health just so that people can feel comfortable and supported, and that you know that this is a safe place to talk about that. So stay tuned. I think I will dedicate my next two shows in May to mental health and awareness. So in the last segment, I was talking about acceptance. So a part of moving through and growing through sadness and grief in particular is accepting what is. And me accepting that my daughter is not just a sum of her symptoms within her illness, but she's still who she is. And remembering all of the wonderful characteristics that make her her, that she's not just an illness. And then also working through some of the losses that we might have. So there's grieving the fact that your child has been diagnosed with something super heavy, may have hospitalizations. I grieve the fact that I had to put my daughter in the hospital for this. And some of the milestones, she may not drive a car at 16. She might not move out of the house at 18 or 21. I might need to still be engaged somehow. Who knows? But knowing that there are different types of losses that are potential and giving yourself the space in the room to grieve them, because we do have those mile markers, those milestones for kids as well as for adults about things. And that's kind of what makes life fun and interesting for us. And that's okay. If those things don't happen when they quote unquote usually happen, and that's fine. And then also just walking with and not in front of my child, instead of, you know, talking to her and saying, this is what you need to do. This is how we're going to work on your illness, but be her partner. Find the common ground. Try to find those places and the laughter and the activities that you share so that you guys can be together and one and continue to create that bond as a family, as a unit, because that's important. So within this episode, in this segment, I want to talk about asking for help. And that's something we talk about a lot on the show and as well as within mindfulness, is that it's hard. Because if you ask for help, it shows that you don't know everything and that you are vulnerable. And then within vulnerability, that's how you can make significant and meaningful change within your life. And I think the first step is the acceptance and the acknowledgement of the fact that you were hiding and now you're not hiding. So that's what I'm doing here, is that I'm sharing that I'm no longer hiding. I'm out in the open. I have nothing to be ashamed of. What I'm looking for is to find my tribe, to find the people that can help me to get the help that I need so that I can be the best caregiver and parent to my child. What I've done and is started attending support groups through NAMI, NAMI.org, something that I think we're going to be throwing up throughout the show. There's also another organization, Mental Health America, MHA.org. But NAMI has, I think, across the entire country, support groups that you can attend online and one day maybe in person, but for now online. And what I've been finding is that in those meetings, I'm not alone, that I do have support. And the things that I feel, the sadness, the grief, the fear, the longing, happiness, you know, it's all there. And I see that other people have similar struggles, have similar hardships, and they are truly there to be that listening ear for others. Not unlike any other support group, like a 12-step group or anything else, or cancer support group, autism awareness or support group. It's just having folks that have been walking the miles you've walked, been in the trenches, they have good advice. They have good listening ears. They are just there to give you that virtual hug, help wipe your tears. And I can't say enough about going to them, because it's helpful. It really is. I've also have a counselor that I see periodically, where I go in for what I call a tune-up, just to make sure that I have a place to get out all my stuff and work through my stuff. And last fall, I saw her again, and I worked through some of the grieving process, because that's when it really fully hit me. I will start looking at seeing her again, because there's still some places where there's still my stuff that gets commingled with the stuff that's going on with my daughter and within our family. So I need to figure out my own stuff, right? And how am I dealing with things? Am I overcompensating? Am I undercompensating? Am I not actually looking at things the way that they are? Right. So just having a safe place for me to just walk my walk and, you know, get back to my truth and become really, really authentic with myself. And then finding the courage and the ability to say certain things to my child. There are times where, you know, there are some symptoms that are really, really hard, and I have to create a boundary between myself and the symptom, not my child, but oh, that's an aha moment for me right here. Oh, I feel like Oprah. My aha is that I'm creating the boundary between myself and the symptom, not my child. Because the symptom might be irritability. That's not who my child is. It's just that's the symptom that's coming through, and I have to figure out how I'm going to deal with that irritability. It's not something that needs to trigger all of my other stuff. It just, if it does get triggered, it means that there's some growth there for me. And understanding that and knowing that is really helpful. I think also engaging your family and friends and being really honest about what's going on. Again, in your family unit, you might have kept out the grands or the aunts and uncles and the nieces and nephews and cousins and all of that, from what's going on with your child. And because you want to, you know, ring friends, protect them, because, and siblings, because it's a lot. A lot is going on with your family. There's a lot of focus on a sick child. And we know from other types of severe illnesses that takes a toll on the entire family unit, and people take on different roles within that. And one of them might be just to, like, we're just going to keep this locked up here. This is just family business. You might want to continue to do that. That's up to you, in your family system. I advocate for making sure that, you know, family particularly understands what's going on and can be a place of support. Even if they don't know everything, maybe they too could take some of the courses and seminars, depending on how close they are with you and your family, and especially that child, where they can learn some of the lingua franca of this new world and help you and your family as a supportive person. Same thing with your friends. If you have best friends or the child has friends, helping them to understand what's going on, you know, helping them to find places where they can get resources to read something, right? Or to watch a quick video or something, so that the onus isn't on you and your child to educate them, but they have a better sense of what's going on. We fear what we don't understand. We fear things that just don't look like what we think they should. So remember, as I said at the top of the show, our brains are hardwired for security, right? The world is not secure. So when we look at mental illness, it's like, whoa, that's really different. And that those friends and family, they also have their grieving processes too. Especially, I think, you know, kids, your child has friends and maybe they're no longer friends with those friends because of what's going on for them, or their behavior is so blunted, stunted, staggering to them, like their friends don't understand. So being able to have a place to point folks to educate them is helpful. So with that, I like to kind of summarize the segment where, as part of grieving, we need to ask for help. And a lot of places we normally get support from is our support groups. As I said, NAMI.org has wonderful online support. And if you're in the situation, friends, family, or parent or loved one, or even an individual with mental illness, there's peer-to-peer support there. I highly encourage you to go to support groups. Individual counseling, if you can afford it with your insurance plan, there are also sometimes low-cost or no-cost options. Check with your counties and in your local government. Stop hiding. Get out there. Help, you know, start speaking your truth. Try to live your life authentically as much as you possibly can so that you can get the help that you so rightly deserve and need, and engage your family and friends and let them help you. Let them be a support to you. So with that, you are here with Brittany Miles on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles, How to Lose to Gain It All. And today we are talking about grief as a spiritual practice. We're talking about grieving a loved one, a family member that has, you know, mental illness. And how do you get through that? So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about resources in the next segment. So I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Tune in to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne Taylor King and Denise Stegall, committed to guiding your journey through the world through mindfulness and personal care. These ladies are rebellious, real, funny, and powerful, helping you realize your full potential while navigating the twists and turns life always brings us. Tune in live every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey there, I'm Ricky Schwartz from My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life. My last tip to listeners was to list your top 5 core values and then convert each of them to a statement. At the time, one of my examples was passion, and passion fuels my perseverance. And yes, I found this exercise to be the best first step toward helping my clients to reclaim their lives. But there's a second exercise that works in tandem with the first. This time, write down your top few negative core value statements about yourself or the world in general. Two examples may be, if people knew the true me, they would never accept me, or people are generally untrustworthy. Afterwards, ask yourself 2 questions. Are you surrounding yourself with people who don't share or at least support your positive core values? And are your negative core values, or those of others, drowning out your positive core values? If yes to either, you've extinguished your ability to make personalized decisions. Go to MyTurnLifeCoaching.com and let's unleash the power of your core values.
Hi, my name is Diane McClay. I'm comfortable being in front of people. How to make things work in a structured format made me feel a little nervous. Everybody I have worked with on the Transformation Talk team met me with enthusiasm, their confidence in me spilled over to me and allowed me to just grab onto it and say, oh yeah, that's me and I can own it. Thank you for showing up for me. Thank you for allowing me to put my gifts into the world. And thank you for making me look good while I do it.
Hi, I'm Brittany Miles from Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. I have a mindfulness practice to help you face difficult emotions. It's called RAIN. Developed by Tara Brach, the letters mean the following. R, recognize what's happening to you. A, allow the situation to be as it is. I, investigate feelings with interest and care, and nurture yourself with self-compassion. So you see, RAIN isn't so bad after all. Tune into my show to learn more. See you on the 2nd and 4th Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at miles2gocoaching.com. That's miles, the number 2, gocoaching.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Everybody, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You are here with me, Brittany Miles, on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles, How to Lose to Gain It All. And today we are talking about grief as a spiritual practice. Part two, I actually hosted this topic on Dr. Pat's show, I believe it was March 16th. So if you want to check me out there, please do. But we wanted to bring this topic here to my show as well. I'm coming out of the closet, out of the shadows. I am a parent of a child with severe mental illness. And we've been talking how to deal with that grief. And the key parts we've talked about, accepting what is, starting to walk with your loved one instead of, you know, in front of them so that you can have common ground with them. And realizing that, you know, things might not look the way that you had planned. And there could be other losses as well as gains as life goes on and presents itself to you. Additionally, we talked about, you know, getting support and finding that support. NAMI.org, and I know we're flashing this throughout the show, has wonderful online support groups where there are parents and uncles and aunts and cousins and siblings that are going through the same things we all are, and they give much needed support. Also finding individual one-on-one counseling if you can, if your insurance covers it. Sometimes there's low cost or no cost options as well. You can check with your local government, county, health and human services. And then also just talking to friends and family and being open to them about what you're struggling with and having them maybe attend some of these support groups as well and pointing them to some of the resources so they can understand what's going on with you and especially your child or your loved one. And in this last segment, I kind of like to wrap up with, you know, just acknowledge that you do have pain. For a very, very long time, I did not acknowledge it, didn't understand it, didn't want to feel it. And I think that's a key point. I didn't want to feel it. But once I open up myself to the fact that this is actually happening, I don't have to keep it a secret, opened me up to a whole new world. It's like, it was surrender. Like what I started this whole, my whole show about is surrender. This is like another key element, like how I lost my house and job opportunities and friends and family. Once I let all that stuff go, the universe came in and provided a lot of different things. Like, again, once I acknowledged that pain and decided to just deal with it and live with it, I got to breathe easier. I got to be in the moment more. I got to start to look at my own stuff, and new ideas and resources opened up to me. So sometimes you just got to let go, which is a key thing here. So I was talking about some of the coping skills, like I touched on breathing and breath. That's something that we always do. It's just taking that breath. Kickstarts, restarts your brains into reboot, if you will, and it helps you to get to that quiet place so you can figure out what you need to do or not do. So most of the time you need to do nothing. Especially when you're dealing with someone that has mental illness and they are actively just going through it. Like I had that with my child a few weeks ago. I just had to breathe through it. Sometimes I just had to cry. So having that present moment awareness of understanding what you may or may not need. Using rain to process difficult emotions. I had to think about that. I was like, oh my God, I can use rain. So if you remember, rain is, you know, a methodology for you to process difficult emotions. So R is just, you know, just seeing things as they are. A is accepting things as they are. And then I is investigating and understanding what you're actually going through and asking yourself very gentle questions to see what comes up. And then and nurture yourself with care. This is a technique developed by Tara Brach, and it's wonderful. And you can do it one time, you can do it multiple times, however it works for you, but it helps you to get into that present moment and kind of deal with that block emotion, if you will. There's also meditation. I found that during some of the heat that I was dealing with in the past few weeks ago, I wasn't meditating. And then once I started to release and let go, I've come back to my meditations and I feel better. I still have places where, you know, I'm not perfect. I still have those sticky, icky, gooey parts. I still have my insomnia. But I try to release and let go of pieces I can day by day, moment by moment. So with that, I want to say thanks for your time. Thanks for your listening ear and thanks for being supportive. I love you guys as an audience. Everything here helps me. I get my aha moment, which I love. And I'm going to be dedicating my next two episodes in May to mental health awareness because May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And if you do have a loved one, please check out NAMI.org or Mental Health America or MHA.org to get some more insight, information, and resources that can help you. And with that, take care. See you soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Tune in live every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Brittany Miles teaches you how to lose to gain it all with the healing power of surrender. Are you ready to lead a happier life? For more information or to connect with Brittany, visit MilesToGoCoaching.com. That's Miles with the number 2, G-O, coaching.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.